With us here today is Don Loomis, a man who has written for the NBGA for a number of years now and have been a shaker and mover of where matters national bicycle greenway are concerned. Don Loomis rode, for example, for us across the United States in the year 2004 from San Francisco to Chicago and then continued on to Washington, D.C. So, Don, how you doing today, guy?
I'm doing great.
All right.
I'm here at home, but I wouldn't mind being out on my bike today.
Great. Well, we spoke earlier. You were talking about the fact that you, with regard to your ride across the nation in 2004, that it gave you a chance to really do something you just really super enjoy. Can you take us through that a little bit more?
Yeah. The trip was really great. It's something I've always wanted to do for a long time, and. I enjoy long-distance bike riding, but to actually cross the whole country was something that had, you know, been one of my hopes. And being able to just cut a bike and every morning just start pedaling and see where I get to was just really a great experience. And one of the things I learned from it was how much I like and how much more of this kind of thing I want to do. It was, if some people think, well, this is a once-in-a-lifetime sort of event, and I would say, no, it's a first-in-a-lifetime. And I want to keep on the road and doing things like this as much as I can. And the way I like to ride too, I ride for the NBG, and so I made sure I was at the cities in the right places so I could meet the mayors and the city officials. But in between those rides, I sort of free-formed, figured out, you know, where the back roads were and just kind of took them and, you know, made up my trip as I went along. And I really, really enjoy this kind of way I treat life, too, is I think you need goals of things you're heading toward, but you also need flexibility in how you take the journey so that you're open to opportunities of, you know, whatever's going to come up. And I really enjoyed getting to meet a lot of people, you know, kind of noticing the differences of the, you know, how the cultures are different in different parts of the U.S. and just kind of being open and experiencing what everybody had to offer.
Don, you were 18 years with IBM as an engineer, and you raised four kids during that time. How, when you talk about doing a bike ride across the United States after that type of a lifetime of that just regular journeyman predictability, getting up every day at the same time, coming home from work, I'm not going to say necessarily the same time, but a lot of predictability to your life. How has your life changed now that you're a Trans Am veteran?
Well, a lot of things have changed. And actually, while I was on the bike trip last year, in 2004, my marriage ended. I'd been married for about 32 years. And biking was something I always liked to do ever since I was young. And my wife, or at the time now ex-wife, and I had talked about taking a trip across the country, and that was something I thought someday we would do, and we kind of have different different views of that right now, but I went ahead and took the trip. Also I was working for IBM at the time, but when I came back, in fact the day after I arrived back in the Bay Area, I manager told me that I was being offered a separation package and I probably ought to take it, and that's what I ended up doing. So right now I'm not working for an employer. But yeah, I had worked for IBM for 10 years, or actually 18 years, and also spent 10 years working for Apple Intelligent. That was a company that spun off from Apple, and IBM was involved. So it wasn't just 17 years solid with IBM. But my life was pretty predictable during that time. I get up in the morning. I had a bus that left at 7:51, and I knew how to take my bike from my home to the bus stop in time, and I go into work and do my things at work, and then come home again. And I had the family, the kids to do things with, and activities that my wife and I would do, and things like that. So my life was pretty much, had a regular schedule and a ritual to it. Where today I'm sitting here with no obligations. My kids are pretty well grown up and taking care of themselves, and I'm, free to do whatever I want to do. And so this bike trip ended up being right in the transition time of that for me. I tried even when I had was in the regular day-to-day life kind of thing. I tried to incorporate bike riding into my family as much as I could. I didn't own a car myself. I used my bicycle to transport myself, and even though my wife and kids did have their own cars, so I wasn't, we weren't a car-free family, but I did as much as I could on the bike. And also 10 years ago, I did a trip with my family where we took lakes up to a motel in Washington, D.C. Oops, I keep having Washington, D.C. on my mind.
Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, Seattle in the state of Washington, which is north of here. And we shipped the bikes. We got one-way ticket and flew up there, put the bikes together. And our intention was to ride our bikes back down the coast, back here to San Jose. And we had a good time for the first couple weeks together as a family, and we rode and did a lot of sightseeing, went up into Canada a little bit. And then we kind of had a parting of the ways. My wife didn't enjoy biking quite as much as I did, and so she decided to go back and get the car. And the older kids and I biked until we got to about the Oregon border, and then she was back with the car, and we rode a little bit along the coast, and it was a really good experience for the kids and myself, and just getting out there and doing that. But at that point in time, everybody had enough, so except me, and so they all packed their bikes in the car and went back to San Jose, and I did the last part of the trip myself. And I'm kind of like, I can enjoy riding by myself, or I can enjoy riding with a group. Either way works great. Like when I did the trip across the country, last summer we had a group that rode with us through, like from Davis to Folsom, and actually from here in San Jose up to San Francisco. And I had, I think it was Robert Craddock rode with me from Omaha to Des Moines. And so I enjoy riding with other people. And actually Patrick on his unicycle was there. And he was actually ahead of me until we got to Reno, and then I kind of left him behind, and just we stayed in touch by telephone and kind of supported each other. But I can get on my biking soapbox. I think biking is just a great way to get around, to see the country, to meet people. It's a good time also to kind of be yourself and have time to think over things. So I had like 2 months in the time I took to go from San Jose to Washington, D.C. I had a lot of time where I was, crossing deserts and maybe see one car maybe once every hour. And then I had other times where I'd be in the middle of cities and trying to work my way through it. And in fact, I did my first critical pass when I was in Chicago. And that was really neat, having about 1,000 bikes, and we all just kind of took over the streets and got to see what the city was like.
That got cut off a little bit, Don. I'm going to interrupt. You said critical mass. Just interjecting that for our listeners. It kind of, on this end, it kind of got a little bit scrabbled and scrunched.
Okay.
So the word is critical mass. I'm sure everyone here is familiar with what that is. So, okay. Well, now that I've interrupted, I might as well. What also I want to ask you about is all this video footage you shot. We were at a screening that you had, I guess it was for your birthday back in February, where you showed a couple hours worth of your trip, and it had everyone in the room, bikers and non-bikers alike, fully they just loved it, for lack of a better word. And what I'm trying to ask is, how many hours of footage did you shoot?
I shot about 16 hours of video for my whole trip, and I condensed it down to 2 hours for my birthday party when I showed it, and I'm trying to get it down to 1 hour, so it's a little bit more manageable, but it's kind of hard to cut out parts because there were just so many really neat things that happened. But sometimes I have to just kind of edit out and pick the ones that are representative of some of the other experiences.
Have you thought about cutting that down to a place where we can get it online? Like maybe, is it possible to strip it down to 15, 10, 15, 20 minutes so we can run like a stream of movie off of it that we can link from the NBG site?
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Okay.
Maybe it might be a couple of movies or something, but it'd probably be good to just get it down to one movie. So if anybody wanted to see, 15 minutes of what I spent 2 months doing.
Uh-huh.
But, It could be done.
It's a powerful visualization tool. It really is. It's great for someone who wants to know what it's like out there. You know, a lot of people that think of cycling across the United States, they get they pick up a bicycling magazine and see all these wonderful images of these wonderful lakes and forested valleys and all this kind of stuff. But there are dog days out there. Would you not agree with that, Don?
Oh yeah, I'll never forget being on Highway 30 through it was either Ohio or Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and no shoulder, and then a lot of 18-wheeler trucks going by, and I'm fairly careful. If I see two trucks that need to pass each other, and I'm right there on the road, I will pull off and just stop and let them pass. And then it got to be nighttime, and I was trying to find a campsite, and just watching in my rearview mirror for the truck headlights trying to come, and looking around and finding a place. So yeah, it's not all idyllic. I mean, with forests and sunshine, and I think like I was pretty fortunate. I never got caught in any really bad downpours. There was a hailstorm, actually a couple of hailstorms, but I always had a underpass, and I just got under the underpass and just kind of watched the storm go by. And then they always passed pretty quick, got back out again. But yeah, it's a whole combination of experiences from, the really good days of biking through and the sunshine and everything, and especially going down hills, to, you know, times when you're trying to, make sure you find a place to stay or concerned, but I think I'd say I'd never really worried about that stuff, about where I was going to stay or anything. I start looking about 4 o'clock in the evening, and or maybe 6 o'clock, and I always had a place show up. So I never worried that I wouldn't have a place.
But, you talked a little bit. I'm sorry, I can't see you, so I can't. I'm just kind of guessing when you're ready to kind of wrap up and let me interject another question.
Yeah, feel free to interject any time. Okay. I can round off.
Okay. Well, I think the advantage I have is I can edit that out if I can find that on the tape if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Earlier you were talking about the fact that the different parts of the country. I'm thinking that when you were in Nebraska and some parts of Colorado, that you were able to park or camp, spend the night in city parks. You had Iowa, all that changed. Was it just a Nebraska phenomenon, you think, or how that?
I think it was primarily Colorado, Nebraska, and I didn't really check out any city parks in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was and the city parks are nice too, because you're kind of there with people.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I try to find a place where I got privacy, so you know, people hiking aren't gonna get a tent right next to the trail.
Don, did you notice, like I noticed when I went across in 1979 and in 86, that as you got further east, it became more and more people, and the people weren't as friendly or as open and they took a little bit longer to warm up, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Was that your experience as well?
I'd say in general that's true. I wouldn't say that they were not as friendly. I met a lot of very warm people in the east.
No, yeah, not as friendly, but they just take a little longer to warm up.
Well, as the west. Yeah, I think in the west here, and I've lived in both sides of the country too, but I think in the west here we tend to meet somebody and just try to get to know them as much as we can in the next 2 minutes. Or in the east, when you meet somebody, you kind of talk about other things for a while and then gradually warm up to them. But people are all different too. I mean, that's kind of a generalization. Mm-hmm. And I found people in the east that I kind of connected with within just a few minutes. And there's probably counter examples in the west here too of people who are kind of cautious and want to get to know you before they really want to talk about anything that's really important.
Okay,
in general, that's true.
Okay, so you come back on after this bike ride, you mortgage, really essentially what it amounts to is you mortgage your future. You come back, you don't have a job any longer. A job is the way you knew your job, to be with IBM. You spent a good chunk of change on this ride and a lot of your life force. Was it worth it?
Oh, yes. I didn't really plan on all these changes taking place at exactly the same time. I knew when I was on the ride, this was something I really liked and was thinking I want to do something with my life that's really in tune with what I really enjoy. And work-wise, I've had a lot of good experiences. I've also had times where I just, you know, punched the clock and did the best I could with what I was doing. But you kind of on the bike get a perspective of how, you know, how life is really open to us to kind of create whatever we really want to make out of it. And that's where I am right now. I mean, right now I'm in a transition. I don't have a full-time employer, so I'm just kind of, you know, enjoying myself and doing what I, you know, things I like to do. Maybe, you know, like editing videos and learning some technologies and being with friends and things like that, which I think are extremely important. And I don't know exactly where I'm going to go to next, but I know it's going to be something that I'm doing what I really want to do.
So it certainly has gotten you into a place where you appreciate the little things, you a glass of cold water, a bathroom that's available for you to be able to just be able to use, something, a favorite food in the refrigerator. All those types of things are really, they're dear now. Would you not agree? As a result of your bike ride, this huge bike ride that you did.
Oh yeah, just I say the little things like having water. I did run out of water once in Colorado. And I found somebody with a motorhome that gave me a couple bottles of water, and that took care of me. But yeah, I just kind of appreciate all the little things and just living. I'm hoping to do some more backpacking and bicycle camping and touring and stuff like that too. I just really appreciate the outdoors and call it the natural world, which I think is reflected in the things that we make in the, you know, in our made-up world too. So I appreciate mm-hmm. them as well.
Don, I'm wondering, do you find, as I know that I, that going off and doing a bike ride across the United States changes how you prioritize the value you place on things? Money becomes kind of less of a driving force as opposed to what it sounds like you've discovered, that it's good conversation, it's healthful, clean living, it's the nature, natural circumstance, things like that. Am I reading this correctly?
That's true. Yeah, I found out, you know, the things that are really important and what you need, you can get by with a lot less. Well, one thing I learned on the trip too is I pulled a trailer that was fully loaded, and I had four panniers on the bike.
How can we forget?
I knew it was heavy, and I didn't know how heavy it was till I got to, I was in Nebraska, and I found a truck scale, and I went and put the bike on the scale, and it came up at 140 pounds, and that's the bike and all the gear and
Jesus.
Outside. And that's more than you need to carry around in life, and that's something I'm learning too, is you can travel light. You don't have to carry that much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I realize, well, if I make it across the country pulling 140 pounds, then I'm going to be a little bit stronger than I would be if I was only pulling, say, 80 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So there's good parts to that, too. But,
well, how about when you left here in Palo Alto and you left with... We kind of, I mean,
yeah.
you had a library with you. You had everything. It was just an amazing bunch of poundage.
Yeah, I had a whole power plant with batteries and solar systems and books to read and a collection of CDs and things I was going to read. I really appreciated your and.
Did you miss any of it, Don?
No. I did use all the stuff I brought, but I didn't.
Uh-huh.
There was lots of times that I was going over hills, and I was really glad I didn't have that extra, I don't know, 40 pounds or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Plus, it was kind of hard to keep the bike upright with all that weight on it too.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I may not have made it if I hadn't done that triage.
So what's on your horizon for 2007?
Well, I'm hoping to go with you on a trip across the country.
Okay, are you going to be our videographer?
I would be your videography and maybe pack horse to some extent.
Okay.
I like to travel light, but I would like to
You got the experience, Don.
Yeah. So I get the benefit of getting stronger if I can pull all the stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, I really love videoing and, you know, just having adventures and being able to share them and stuff. And in fact, I started a weblog, and I don't have anything in it yet, but I'm hoping to put more things in it, kind of like what I did last summer when I would call Faye up and she would write, what I had done for the day, and then mm-hmm. I'd be able to read it a few days later. Mm-hmm. It was kind of neat, and I'd like to be able to share that with people more.
Mm-hmm. We might be able to do next year, or next in 2007, is it'll be these types of exchanges. It'll be an actual, real live, real bullets voice, a podcast, instead of someone trying to write it up and articulate it how they're seeing your trip. It's going to be your words, real time, mm-hmm. you know. And that's why I'm so excited about these four. Brings me to a thought. I'm going to interrupt you before I forget this. With regard to the Folsom to Davis run, we did this last July. You shot a whole bunch of footage of that, right?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have you edited that, or is there any...
Well, to be honest, I haven't looked at it again.
Okay. We got to get that online. That was a great thing. I think there's a lot of good stuff there that I think the writers would love to see.
Yeah, I think there is. And my video camera broke after that. So when from Palo Alto to San Francisco, I was just thinking, how I really wished I had my video camera.
Did you get that fixed yet?
I did get it fixed, and it's working fine now. So I'm
great.
Back able to take and make videos.
Wow. Back in the mode, huh?
Yeah, in fact, maybe the Folsom to Davis ride, making a short video of that might be a good way to hone out the technology.
And if you can find, I'm being most conversive on this. This is kind of strained from the interview, but I'm sure our listeners might enjoy hearing some of this. But what I'm wondering is, might you know anybody who could house that video? I don't think I've got enough bandwidth in my site to be able to store it.
I know there are sites that I can't remember their names offhand, but smartmedia.com or something mm-hmm. like that, or free media, I think it's called, mm-hmm. where they're open to hosting these kinds of things and doing it free. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of looking into things like that for my own personal stuff. So.
Well, I'm able to do that with these podcasts at Radio for All. That's a nonprofit, it looks like, service that takes these podcasts and streams them onto the web. In the internet, so people could everyone mm-hmm. out there listening can listen. But that's kind of as this whole last half of the interview is kind of concerned. That's kind of another digression I'm making you guys out there listening go through. I guess Don. That said, what I've been desirous of doing with this interview is kind of giving people out there a taste of what it's like to be out there on a bike ride across the United States, and that it can be, you don't have to start out as Mr. Joe Athlete. You can be someone who's worked for 18 years for IBM and raised a family and ready to kind of start over and see world from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Is that would that be a fair assessment of what I've been able to show here, or what we've been able to show?
Yeah, I think if you love to be outdoors, and I don't think biking really takes too much energy. I have a reputation now for being, really strong because I did bike across the country, but I don't think I'm that much different than anybody else. I just got up every day and, biked for maybe 70 to 100 miles a day or so. Mm-hmm. Sometimes less, depending on what was going on. But I think it's something I would. It may not be for everybody, but I would recommend everybody try it.
Mm-hmm.
And you also see a part of the country that you don't see when you're like riding in a car on an interstate. One of the first things people often say to me when I tell them I rode my bike across the country is, they didn't know that you could ride bikes on interstate highways. And there's sort of this idea that the only way to cross the country, if you're going to, be on the surface, is to take highways. But the interstate highways are nice if you want to get someplace real fast and don't care about seeing things in the middle. But there's all sorts of just a great network of small roads and in some cases bike trails, which ultimately great to get people off on the roads to be able to get to places. But you can. There's alternatives to how to see the country. In fact, when I came back, I took Amtrak, and it took 3 days to get back, and just got to see the countryside looking out of the window. In fact, I went through a lot of the places that I'd bike along too, so it was neat being able to see that. So there's a lot of alternatives to, like, either flying or getting in a car and taking interstates. And in my opinion, biking is the best way to get around. But I mean, I'm open to learning other ways too, if as they come up.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Don, thanks for the time you spent with us today. Thanks for letting us kind of see into what you did in 2004 and a little bit this last year as well. With your ride from Folsom to with us from Folsom to Davis. Once that hint is online as a video collection. But Don, you've been a real joy to work with, and I think everybody here is vicariously had a lot of fun with what you've done, and I just want to say thanks.
Well, I want to say thanks to you too for organizing and all the work you did when I went on the trip across the country. I had to do was ride and show up places, and I know there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to put something like this together.
Okay, Don. Well, that said, thanks for you, and we'll see you out on the road, and I'm sure we're going to see each other in telephone space pretty soon here. And again, thanks for you, Don.
Okay, thanks for you too.
All right.